That's the new Dove Speaks intro music. Oh, I love it. You love it so much, I'll turn on your mic now. This is Chris Austin, and then this is Dove Speaks, our weekly show. I'm here with my my co-host, Dr. Elizabeth Archambeau, who has more nicknames than anyone. Right? Didn't we discuss that last week?
We did. And oh,
sorry,
geez.
Sorry.
Yes, but I go by Betsy instead of the litany of Liz, Liza, Lizzie, Beth, Betty, Becky.
Dr. Betsy.
Dr. Betsy.
Ooh, that's like a pioneer doctor. Doesn't that sound like it?
Yeah, it kind of does.
On the prairie or something?
Yeah.
Dr. Betsy, Dr. medicine Betsy. Woman.
Yeah, I know. My dad actually calls me, it's kind of embarrassing for anyone, Dr. Puff.
Wow. Okay. Moving on.
Yeah, well, it was my childhood nickname, and
really?
So he just kind of married that with...
That was Peanut.
Peanut.
I think it was a weird-looking kid.
Yeah. Well, another nickname for Elizabeth when I was younger was Lizard Breath. Oh, man. So Elizabeth gets a whole lot of...
Betsy's looking good now.
Heck yeah. Even though there was the unfortunate Betsy Wetsy doll.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
But that's okay. I think every kid has some sort of unfortunate thing that goes along with their name.
I had Steve Austin, so that's pretty good.
$6 million man.
$6 million man. Yeah, yeah. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Look what it did for me.
You're a $6 million man, Chris.
Anyway, you have a guest. We have a guest.
Yes, we do. And today we have with us Brooklyn Descent, and she is a conscious comedian and a stand-up performance coach. And I had the pleasure of meeting her a few weeks ago during a workshop that she was hosting called Crush It. And it is coaching for public speaking using stand-up comedy.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Brooklyn, hi.
Hey, how are you guys?
Betsy
good.
Said you were going to be an unconscious comedian, which I thought was going to be a weird show, but okay.
I am unconscious right now. I had 4 hours of sleep.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. And then you come to Vashon and you just want to sleep some more. I want
to
hammock.
That's what we do here.
Yeah.
We sleep sometimes, yeah.
Little cat naps.
Gray skies, rain, sleep.
Hey, it's not raining today.
It is. It's gorgeous. It's like the fifth day in, I don't know, a year.
I know. I feel like I just jinxed it, though.
You did.
So sorry if it rains tomorrow.
No. No rain.
Anyway, well, Brooklyn, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. You know, first of all, thank you for having me on your show to talk about all this good stuff.
You're welcome.
Crush it. Listen, I actually decided that I wanted to teach people how to not just be better on stage, but just in general, how to find their voice, find who they are by speaking and teaching them improv. I've been a comedian since 2004. I walked into this little comedy club one day and I could drink, but I didn't really want to. And I thought, I want to know what these guys do in here. I never walked into a comedy club before. And I saw these gentlemen out there and one woman do comedy. And at the time I was doing corporate training and I thought, oh man, I could do this. This is rocks. Are you kidding me? This is awesome. And so I took an 8-week course and my life changed because I used the skills of comedy in every situation. I landed better jobs. I got better offers. I had better gigs. And so I decided this is the way to go. And a few years ago, after performing for a while, I was getting a little bored with the comedy scene and the way that comedians were performing. I'm like, there's got to be more. And somebody said, you've got to take improv. Like, this is your area. You've got to take improv. And I did. And it changed my life. It totally changed my life for the better because of the mindset of improvisers. And as a comedian, you may know, typically comedians and improvisers don't seem to see eye to eye because they think one is better than the other, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, really. Like,
DJs rule them all.
Yeah, really? You know, and I DJ too. So I've DJed, I've emceed. I'm like, guys, come on. There's so much more here. And then when I took improv, it really took my life to a whole nother level of experience. Because we get up every day and we may have an agenda or goals or things to do, but we don't have a script. No, you don't say, okay, well, let me look at my script and what am I going to do today? You really just go with the flow. And what improvisation does is it allows us to just take a risk, to do something we've never done before, to experience things we've never experienced before, and open our creativity to a place that, again, wasn't there before, right? And so I started to apply the concepts of improv and stand-up comedy to speaking. And again, it completely, again, changed my life. And I started teaching this to people. And I said, my gosh, I'm finding that this applies not only in speaking, but in my whole life. I'm starting to take more risks. I'm starting to do things differently. I'm opening my creativity in a way that I had never opened my mind to before. And it just does. It changes your life because of the rules of improv, if you will.
Mm-hmm. You know, they have improv on the island, and I've taken a couple of classes. And one thing that struck me was a lot of the other students were actors on the island. And we had the last class was open. They have an audience. Mm-hmm. And many of them were very nervous. And I wasn't. I was completely at ease with this. But if you gave me a script and put me in a play, I would lock up like that. And they had hundreds of lines to learn in these plays. And they were so confident. And they said, that is nothing compared to going up without a script. And it's just, I don't know, your genetic qualities. I don't know what it is, but it was so different because I really admired what they could do. Mm-hmm. And they were just so nervous at what I thought was so simple.
Well, right, and it's a matter of training, right? So you train. It's like doing yoga, right? And I love to do hot yoga, and I do as much as I can. But every day you walk into the studio, your body is different, right? Today I could have been great, and tomorrow I'm just going to suck. It's not going to be any good. So the same thing happens when you improvise. Sometimes you do well, and sometimes you don't, right? One of the rules of improv, as you know, is to say yes and, right? So whatever comes your way, you just take it. You say yes, and this is next. This is what I can build on, and that we always fail. Everybody's going to constantly fail. You're not a failure. You're just going to fail and you get up and go, okay, I'm going to do it again. But usually in our life, in our day-to-day life, in our business lives, we don't allow ourselves to fail. We don't allow ourselves to play. And we take ourselves too seriously unless you're on the island. And you're here. This is the only place. It's like, you know, oh, well, you know.
It's Vashon.
It's Vashon. Seriously, VTO. I mean, I'm digging this life. Coming from Seattle, I was so stressed out, and I just get on the ferry, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's like going to Hawaii without the cost. This is so nice.
Almost the cost, though.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
No, this is true. This is true. But I love it. And so for me, it was about figuring out how can I help people improve their lives. And improv and the philosophy of improv really did that for me. And then I'm finding that people are discovering more. So I call it public speaking, and Crush It is around public speaking training. But it's more than that. It's really figuring out how to take more risks in your life and how to speak your voice. For example, if you're at work and you want to say something, you want to speak up. One of the things we have in improv called trust your feet. Right. So if you want to jump in there and say something, then just jump in there, and say something. Mm-hmm. And if it flops and if it doesn't work, then fine. Then say it another way or find whatever else works versus being quiet. And keeping it in. Sometimes for people is they come to my class and realize, man, I should be making better career decisions or better relationship decisions, right? I should speak up more about what I want and need. And they're finding through the process of releasing this sense of having to be right and having it to be perfect for people are finding, hey, you know what? I can fail in it and I can just put something out there and see what happens and be raggedy, as I say, and then see what happens on the other end.
Well, I think too, if you practice this speaking your voice at work, amongst your friends, then the more you do it, the more it becomes familiar to you.
Yeah.
And the better you become at it. And maybe in your relationship now, you're not as, scared to speak your mind because you've done it everywhere else and it makes sense to do it here. And I have something worthy to say.
Sure.
And this is where I can use it in my relationship.
Yeah, yeah. It's building a new muscle, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And you know what the crazy thing is? It's building a muscle you already had.
Yeah.
And that's a muscle of play, right? Mm-hmm. We stop playing, right? Start getting into kindergarten, first grade, second grade. It's like you notice how the colors and the stuff starts to change in the classroom as people get older. Why
I know
is that?
Everything
gets
I have
duller.
Is black and white.
It gets duller, black and white. I mean, literally, it is all black. And I'm like, what happened to the color? There's no more stuff. You know, in high school, they're not putting stuff on the glass anymore. You know, it's like people are trying to jump out the glass.
Yeah,
it's like
wanted posters.
It's pretty much they want to jump out the window versus putting stuff on the window, right? But the cool thing about this whole process that really was interesting was that, so a couple years ago, I was performing stand-up, and I did a show at Columbia City, and packed you know, the house was packed. It was super fun. But because I was studying improv, I thought, what would happen if I went on stage with no jokes?
Sound like my stand-up.
Pretty much. I have no jokes. I have nothing. I have nothing. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so I was telling my manager at the time, I said, you know, I'm going to do this. And she says, no, what are you doing? That's crazy. I'm like, yeah, now I have to do it because it's crazy. Let's do it. And so I get up there and I was so concerned that I would not, that I would flop, right? Because I was afraid of failure for real. And I actually had my jokes like a set list on the floor, right? And I told the first joke and maybe the third and fourth joke and the rest was just like whatever came up.
Yeah.
Because I realized these people were in the room for something else. They wanted some sort of healing, some sort of like, talk about my stuff, right? Because when you see a comedian, you want them to talk about the stuff that you're going through.
That's like, very true.
Right?
Yeah.
My divorce, my relationship, how I suck, whatever. Please say something about me. And I thought, you know, why not say something about you? And so halfway through the show, I said, hey guys, all right, so this is now where I do comedy unscripted. And the room was quiet. And I'm like, me neither. I don't know what it is. So let's start talking, right?
Crickets.
Crickets. They're like, I know. But the cool thing is that people were saying after the fact, because we muddled through it, is like, it doesn't matter what you would have said. We were with you because it's a real experience. Mm-hmm. But that was so freaked out about it. I stopped performing for like 2 years because I'm like, what the heck was that? What am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. And then literally a few months ago, I came back and I did a show called The Awakening. At the Pocket Theater, April 15th, I said, I'm going to do this show. And it's really about part self-help, part intuition, part comedy. Let's see what happens. Again, no script. It's about what's going on for the people in the room. And as I was getting ready for the show, what I did was I started to do this thing that I call the parlor tour. So don't get ideas, but here, the parlor tour is I went to people's houses and I did comedy at people's houses doing this thing called improvised intuitive stand-up. I made this stuff up. Anyway, so I'm doing this show and for 4 weeks, and then the last show I did, there was about 25 people in this house. And I said, okay, guys, I know you're here for an awakening. And I posed a question. I said, what do you want to create in your life? What's something that you really want to break through and create in your life? And this woman just shot up and said, I know what I want to do. And so I brought her up on the stage and we started kind of intuitively coaching her and also energetically feeling what's going on for her. And I was telling her information I shouldn't know. And I'm thinking, am I psychic? What's going on? What's happening? Am I reading too much? Oh my gosh, I was getting freaked out because I was allowing the improv skill of just being in the moment and really listening to a person and see what happens, that things emerge. And so we had three people come up throughout the show and we did some unbelievable awakening. And then I did an actual show April 15th at the Pocket. And again, when the show ended at an hour later, people literally yelled out, no, more. We want more. Because I was dealing with real life situations and figuring out how do we get through it? How do we cut through the negative thoughts we might have, the negative patterns of thinking through improvised humor? And it was unbelievable. So I'm doing it again April 27th. They want me back. And now it's going to be a 90-minute show at the Pocket.
Wow.
It's called The Awakening.
Wow, that's really cool. I mean, one of the things that I like about improv is so many times when you're listening to someone speak, don't you kind of like check out and then you start thinking about what you're going to say?
Yes.
So you listen to them for like 7 seconds or something, because don't we have the same attention span as a goldfish?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I know.
Yeah, what was that? I lost you.
But then you know, you disconnect because then you're in your own head, you know, thinking about what you're going to say. And so you're not actually fully focused on the other person. And then, and I think that's a hard habit to break.
It is, until you start to really practice it.
Yeah.
Because in improv, what happens is you have an ensemble, right? As you know, you have an ensemble. You have people with you on stage. And the differences, by the way, guys, that I find between stand-up and improv is that stand-up is about communication, how you're communicating to an audience, the words you use, the places you put certain words, which is what makes it funny, communication. Improv is about a relationship, right? So mm-hmm. Even us three right here in this very moment, we're having a three-way relationship, right? We are players in this game, if you will. And life is really a game. Just like this person passing by and we're waving to them and, hello, how are you? We're on air, we say hello to you.
Who are those freaks on the street out there?
Vashon, we have a fan club. I think this is our fan club right here. I know these people are. They look well nourished. and well rested.
I don't know. They're sketchy. No.
I know.
Actually, he has a show on the radio station. It's Eric Bryan.
Well, he's probably waiting for his turn, you see. So even as this moment is happening, we'll take what happens, and it's a relationship with the ensemble. And so what happens is that when you're in a moment, you're paying attention to your cast and to your ensemble. Mm-hmm. And whatever you say, I'm going to pick up on that and add to it. Right, which is what happens in relationships as well. So I do this in my own relationships, my own personal relationship as well, and I play improv games even when we're having an argument. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me really listen. And then let me add to that, right? And so that's really the key about improv is that it's about relationships and trusting the people in the room to have your back.
Yeah, that could actually be really funny in a relationship. Yes. You're like, well, you never do the dishes. Yes, and?
Yes.
I also never vacuum the floor.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's it. Yes, man. I love coming home to dirty dishes. Yes. And every time I see dirty dishes, I think about how much I love you because truly it is about me allowing that to happen. Right. And on and on.
So I'm actually going to take this moment to do our little disclaimer, which we always forget to do, in fact, any of the opinions that we have on this show are not representative of the opinions of Voice of Vashon.
Or its board members.
And so if you disagree with us or are offended by us or anything, it's just us.
And get in line.
Yeah, and get in line. And also, I would like to thank some of the underwriters for today, Vashon Recess Lab. VOV programming support is provided by the Recess Lab, Vashon's favorite place to hang out, literally. The Bouldering Wall is open with classes, open climb, and shoe rentals. Drop-ins are welcome at 17641 Vashon Highway Southwest or call 206-434-5261. And I think it's really funny that there's an actual address on here because does anyone actually do real addresses here? So the Recess Lab is like 10 feet from where we're sitting. So if you're lost,
find VOV. And
maybe those people on the sidewalk were lost. Yeah, looking for Recess Lab.
Maybe. So Brooklyn, this is all super, I mean, it's fascinating. It's so fun. And so for us, we work with a lot of survivors of domestic violence, teen dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking. And I think that there are a lot of really great tie-ins here about learning how to speak your truth and speak your voice and also be confident in that, in rebuilding those skills. As an example, mm-hmm. There are a lot of women that stop working and sometimes are not allowed to work, or heck, I mean, even women that have stopped working to take care of kids or whatever. And then you have this real inhibition or, you know, barrier to starting again. Well, no one's going to listen to me. Maybe I'm not very good. And because we all have that, we can all believe the worst about ourselves.
Sure. Or I'm just a housewife, that kind of mentality.
Right. And so how do you think, I mean, this could all kind of, how help. All of this could help survivors that are building their own person again and building their own confidence for who they are?
That's a great question. And, you know, and thank you for that because, you know, as we talked before too, you know, even as a child, I experienced it, right? Experienced a difficult childhood. And I remember thinking, there's got to be a better way to live, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this is what led me to comedy, led me to improv as well, is finding a way for me to become courageous in my own voice. And I will tell you that one of the things that I've learned is that the immediate thinking that we have, we hesitate to believe in ourselves. We hesitate. And what I love about the power of this tool, this process, is that when you learn to practice, actually taking risks with a group of people who are also taking risks with you, right? So not doing it alone, but, you know, getting with an improv team or going to a class where together you're taking risks, you find that there's community there. Because part of this process is training, retraining your mind and retraining your subconscious mind of who you really are. Because it's lost in there somewhere, right? It's forgotten because of all that's happened to you, the trauma and so on, and that story we constantly keep playing in our minds. So the key here is to just, first of all, practice with other people who are in the same place as you, you know, failing and taking risks and so on. And if you are on your own and you're thinking, you're listening to this radio show and you go, what can I do? Is literally do one thing. I don't care how small it is. One thing that you've been hesitating, that you've been afraid to do, even as no matter how small it is, to give yourself a sense of, you know what, this is possible. Oh, wow, I can do that. I can take this step. And you know, it's interesting because this reminds me of when I first moved out of my home, and I left home kind of late, like almost 22, 23 years old when I left home. And I remember being in my apartment with nothing in it, nothing in my apartment. And I stepped outside of the door and I said, oh my gosh, I don't have to ask anybody for permission, and I'm not, you know, told I can't do things, and I'm not held back. Just opening the door and stepping outside on your own, going to a store and buying what you want to buy for yourself, right? These little tiny risks that you take on your own that you thought you couldn't, you realize, wait a minute, there's no block. And that bit of, again, improvising your life, whatever idea or thought you have that you want to just do, try it. No matter what happens, the result is not what matters. It's the actual taking the action and trusting your feet, trusting your intuition that you're right.
You know, I think that would be especially helpful. Betsy, you've talked about one of the hallmarks of domestic violence is the abuser often isolate the victim. You know, mm-hmm. they don't mm-hmm. have contact with friends or relatives or mm-hmm. because they're the abuser is the only one they listen to. And once they want to get away from that, mm-hmm. they've kind of lost that innate skill to communicate with others and how mm-hmm. to speak your voice and how to, you know, wait your turn and then take your turn. Mm-hmm. So this would be what you're saying is works with that perfectly.
Well, yeah. And the biggest thing is that we're constantly dealing with the fear of, you know, how people are going to perceive us and the fact that we're not worthy. Who are you? Who do you think you are? And those tapes keep playing in our head, right? Mm-hmm. And a little technique that I know it's worked for me and I still use is whenever those thoughts come to my mind, I say, you're fired. I don't need you anymore. That's not the thought I need. What I need is the thought of power, the thought of ability, the thought of, yes, I can, I am powerful, I am courageous, I am able, you see. Because when you start to re-script, if you will, your subconscious mind to understand who you are now, it's a whole different experience, but you have to literally take the smallest step of action to start to let yourself know, oh, this is possible. But usually, you're right, the isolation, the feeling of, you know, not being worthy, your value, your self-worth. I know another thing that really helps through this process, improvising as well, is not just action, but writing. And I know probably you've talked mm-hmm. about this before, is journaling and writing and seeing the progress you make over time. And even, and I used to do this women's journaling group, and this one woman, and we had an 8-week group, and this one woman would not write, but she kept coming to the group. She goes, I just can't write, because what if somebody sees it? I said, you know what, at some point, if you want, you can keep the journal here, nobody will look at it. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that, and she did, and so she goes, that moment of just taking that small action transformed her life. And it wasn't like instant, but the fact is that you're taking an action towards something mm-hmm. that you're afraid of without taking, you know, having too much risk. And I think improv as a mindset is saying yes, and yes, I'm valuable. Yes, I'm courageous. Yes, I'm powerful. Yes, I can do this. And just taking that small action, see what happens.
Are there any like verbal activities that you can do just if you're alone in your house or alone in your bathroom to help that verbal process
yes.
go along? Because a lot of people have a fear of public speaking.
Yes.
I mean, that public speak all the time have fears about public speaking.
Yeah.
And so when you're kind of reintroducing yourself, you know, as a powerful, confident person, and yes. you keep firing mm-hmm. that little dude in your head.
Yes.
But how can you practice that to make it more fluid?
Yeah, I love it. Again, great question. Betsy, your questions are fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
fantastic. So here's the thing, and I do this personally, and of course, people say, you know, meditate and affirmations are great, and some people also will say, affirmations are not good. Look at your life. I bet the people saying affirmations are not good are not very successful. Notice, affirmations are powerful. The one thing that I've learned in this last year that's been really powerful is something called incantations. And you probably hear Tony Robbins and some other personal development people talk about incantations. And that is that you take terms that you want to become and you say them out loud, full-bodied, right? Full-bodied. So I don't want to be too loud here right now, but one of the things I do in the morning, and this is a consistent for me, when I realize there's something I want to become or an emotion or way I want to be, I literally say the words out loud that I am. The most powerful words in the existence of humanity is I am. Right? Whatever you say after I am, you become. Okay? So if I say I am powerful, I am courageous, I am, you know, conscious, I am creative, I am a genius, I have abundance, right? I am abundant. So when you say the words I am and the thing you want after it, incantations is you do it physically. You physically get up. And yes, it sounds a little bit weird, but you're alone, hopefully, you know, and it, you know, your neighbors may hear you or the dog may, who cares? Right. Ultimately, in this practice, if you get into it, especially in the morning, the things that you want to become, you say, I am whatever it is out loud, physically, not just meditatively, because meditative is good because it allows you, your mind to slow down and to focus. But the physicality of it is a switch, because when your body physically hears what you're saying, it says, OK, I believe that. And I can't even begin to tell you the things that has happened in my life since I started to do incantations every morning. And people are hearing this and go, oh, now I know what you do in the morning.
Guess who's up?
Guess who's up? Oh, jeez, that lady next door. Right. Oh, my God, here she goes. I am powerful. Well, you know, when somebody listens to me, it'll happen to them. I am powerful. So, and again, it sounds cheesy, but who cares? Who cares? And that's the thing that improv has allowed me to do is to really realize who cares? Right? Because ultimately, I need to improve. Yeah. If I don't do this for me, I can't help other people. Right? So the key is that whatever you want to become, I am, and then those words. And I would suggest to you is you write them down and you look at them and you get up. Okay, I'm going to get up and, you know, get it, you know, stand on your feet and say, I am, and continue it. And I'd say usually for about a good 10-15 minutes. And it sounds like a long time, but you need to rewire and rescript your subconscious mind to do what you need it to do to start to fire those old thoughts and those old statements that people have repeated over and over again, and you know, to you, because eventually you believed it.
That's true.
Wow.
Didn't think that was going to happen, right?
I know. I love it. Trying to think of words.
Where
can
do we
use.
Go from here?
I don't know.
For 3 minutes.
So we have 3 minutes left.
We have two minutes.
Really? We don't have an ability for people to call in, do we?
No.
Yeah, well, we do. It's pretty sketchy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen, here's a couple of things to tell you too. Speaking of public speaking and so on and finding your voice, one of the cool things is that whatever is going on for you in your life right now, and this is an interesting concept, you're blessed by it. Believe it or not, no matter what it is, there's something you're here to do that through that experience, you're here to help other people. Right. When you come through that experience, you're here to help other people. And I know for me, that was the case. And I knew it even as a child. I remember things that I was like, you know, why is this happening? Like, what's going on? And then as an adult, I realized, oh, this is why this is happening. It's my job to help other people. The fact that I'm even on the show talking to people who've suffered in this way, there's something you're here to do. And there's a way for you to save and help other people through your experience. Right. And this is part of the process, getting through that experience. You're a healer in a way. You're going to help other people heal as well through your experiences. So many people that are suffering. But improv, humor, comedy, any of those things. I'm actually doing a women's only stand-up comedy class starting May 17th, which is super fun. And is to learn not only stand-up, but through improv as well, learning how to tell your story, how to find the humor in your story. And that's what comedians do. We take situations that are horrible and find a way to turn those around and find the humor in them. So finding a way to find humor back in your life, because humor does heal.
Yes, it does. I was at an event last night, and they had a huge slide up at the front of the room. It was kind of like a networking event. And the slide said, be yourself because everybody else is taken. And I thought that would absolutely, because every once in a while you look around, you're like, I want to be like Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be like Chris, you know, and I could never be like Chris. I mean, let's just face it.
Chris taken.
It's not taken and nobody wants
no,
it.
It's super taken. It's super taken. But no, you're right. And people also say, well, who am I? Right. And here's the cool thing. And I'll leave you with this is that typically we all have a sort of a blueprint of what we think our life should be. Right. And the difference between your blueprint and your current situation, if there's a difference, people tend to be in suffering. Right. If you're below whatever you think your life should have been, you're going to be miserable. Like it's not there. It's not there. And there's two things you can do. Either change that script or take action. And typically in most lives, we have to do a little bit of both. Changing the script, and one of those things is through, like I said, incantations, listening to humor, taking humorous classes will help you start to change that blueprint. And the other thing is taking action. That will help you to start to shift some of those things that you're thinking about and that are not allowing you to become the person that you're really here to become.
That's awesome.
Yes, indeed.
Wow. Well, Brooklyn, thank you so much for coming out here today.
My pleasure.
I know this might be a little bit woo-woo for some people, yes. but I feel like I was supposed to meet Brooklyn.
Yes.
For whatever reason. Because I actually had a horrible experience that then kind of turned into be funny with my car in like the seventh circle of hell after it was towed and everything. And Brooklyn was there with me for that. Yes. But yeah, I feel like I was actually supposed to meet Brooklyn for whatever reason. And so, and I've only known her for a couple of weeks, but thank you.
You're very welcome. And you know what? We'll have there's a reason why we didn't meet. In fact, it wasn't until the very end of that experience that I know that exactly what it is that you did. And I was completely overwhelmed by, wow, like, okay, so I'm supposed to help somehow. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So very cool. I know you're supposed to ask me, hey, so how do people find you?
And, hey, Brooklyn, how do people find you?
I love it. My website is called crushitonstage.com. That's crushitonstage.com. I'd spell it out, but I can't. So crushitonstage.com. And also you can find me easy. Another easy website is Brooklyn Comedy Live, brooklyncomedylive.com. Any one of those. You can also, you know, on Facebook, Brooklyn Comedy Live, you can find me. PM me. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to learn.
Yep.
Millennial lingo.
Good luck with that.
Yes.
Yep. And if anyone wants to find her and can't find her, you can always give me a call at Dove.
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you both. I'm sorry we're out of time, but we've run over. FCC is going to call us.
All right. That's probably. It. All right. Well, thank you, Chris. Yes. Vashon, have a great sunny day.
And we're back next week.
Yes, we are. We are going to be talking to Bree Sherman about sexual